Lord God, Heavenly Father, as this year draws to a close and we meet in your house one last time, be with us to bless us through the hearing of your word and the singing of your praise. Renew our faith, increase our love, and instill even greater hope. Increase our hope within our hearts as we serve you now and as we look forward to living with you forever. Grant us now the blessings of your grace in our worship tonight for your name's sake. Amen. Follow the order of worship as you find it in the bulletin. May you rise. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening.
And the day is almost over.
Be our light and scatter the darkness.
And hear our evening hymn of praise.
Lord God, we thank you for this day of grace now drawing to a close.
Stay with us and warm our hearts with your forgiving love in Christ.
May your word keep our faith burning brightly. Come and bless us as we worship you.
Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hymn 728.
Thank you.
You may remain seated for the responsive psalm reading as printed on page 2 of your bulletin from Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills.
Where does my help come from?
My help comes from the Lord.
The Maker of heaven and earth.
He will not let your foot slip.
He who watches over you will not slumber.
Indeed, he who watches over Israel
will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord watches over you. The sun will not harm you by day,
nor the moon by night.
The Lord will keep you from all harm.
He will watch over your life.
The Lord will watch over your coming and going,
both now and forevermore.
First of our scripture lessons on this New Year's Eve is recorded in Joshua 1. Verses 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So far the first reading. And our second reading is drawn from the Gospel of Matthew in the 6th chapter, verses 24 to 34, a selection from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. That is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So far, the second lesson. Sing hymn 733. scripture text for our meditation tonight is taken from 1 Samuel in the 7th chapter, reading there verses 12 and 13. You read there, "Then Samuel took a stone and he set it up between Mizpah and Shain, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, 'Thus far has the Lord helped us.' So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israelite territory again. Throughout Samuel's lifetime, the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines." So far the text. Christ Jesus, who's led us safely to the conclusion of year 2022, dear Christian friends, Ebenezer, it's a name that's mentioned only three times in the Bible. Each time it's in 1 Samuel. First time is when the people of Israel set up camp beside a place called Ebenezer to prepare for a battle against the Philistine enemies. Israel, at this juncture in their history, they had backslid into unbelief. They were infected very grievously with idol worship. And they treated the Ark of the Covenant, which God had given them as a symbol of his presence with them, as their gracious and mighty Savior, as a good luck charm. And they thought, if we just set it up in our camp, it's going to serve as a protection from evil and misfortune, and the Lord is not going to let our enemies attack or do us any harm, even though their hearts were far from the Lord. They did not love him nor trust in his gospel promises. Their reliance on the Ark of the Covenant as a rabbit's foot good luck charm proved to be their undoing when the Philistines learned that the Ark of the Lord was in their camp there at Ebenezer. They said, "We're in big trouble." Yeah, they were fearful and intimidated by that too, at least at first. And they said, "Who's going to deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods who struck the Egyptians and the plagues in the desert," which they remembered, and the Red Sea crossing and all that. But let's summon up our courage, let's be strong, and let's fight against them. And so they attacked the Israelites at Ebenezer, and they inflicted upon them a humiliating defeat. And the Lord not only allowed them to win the victory against his faithless people Israel there at Ebenezer, he let them capture the ark and move it into one of their own leading cities, Ashdod, and they put it up in their temple to their idol god Dagon, right next to him, which of course was great sacrilege against the Lord. When they entered their temple in the morning, they found their idol god Dagon fell over, set it up again. Next morning they came in, there it was again. Now his head and his arms and his legs had broken off. So they moved it out of their temple to different cities, and wherever it went, bad things happened. Diseases struck the people. Finally, after 7 months, they put it on a cart drawn by two cows and sent it back to Israel to get rid of this thing. It ended up in the Israelite city of Kiriath-Jearim, where it remained for 20 years in the home of a man named Abinadab. Now we fast forward to the time of our text. Those 20 years have passed, and the prophet Samuel addresses the Israelite people, and he urges them to return to their Lord with hearts of repentance and faith, and to put away the Baals and the Ashtoreths, their fake idol gods. The people responded by discontinuing the pagan worship rituals and committing themselves to serving the Lord alone. And then the Lord gathered the Israelite people together at Mizpah, as our text records, a city located just north of Jerusalem, for a special worship service. And the Philistines, when they heard about it, went on the warpath again. The Israelites then pleaded with Samuel to pray to the Lord for his help. And Samuel offered up a burnt offering to the Lord and cried out to him in prayer for the people, and the Lord heard. And when the Philistines approached the Israelites' camp, the Lord thundered with a loud thunder against them and threw them into such a panic that they were routed by the Israelites and subdued. And the Lord did not allow the Philistines to invade Israelite territory again, at least not during the lifetime of the prophet Samuel. And that, dear friends, is when Samuel took a stone and he set it up near Mizpah, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." That's what the word Ebenezer means in the original Hebrew, a stone of help. Like, it's a reminder to the people that the Lord is the rock of refuge for us. So what are a couple takeaways that we can draw from this snippet of Bible history, which the Holy Spirit saw fit to record for us? One, certainly, is this, that we have our own Philistines against whom we had to contend during the past year, 2022. And we needed help. Help from the Lord to stand against them during the past year. The spiritual enemies, you know, the three usually spoken of: the devil, who roars around like a lion, prowls like a lion; the ungodly world that is not our friend as Christians; and our own flesh that also gives us problems and leads us into pathways of sin. Those enemies, and then the earthly enemies we have to contend against. Here I'm thinking about all the various things that cause us physical pain and suffering and sorrow and stress against which we had to contend during the past year, 2022. And the Ebenezer Stone story and the history leading up to it serves as a wonderful reminder on this New Year's Eve that it is the Lord who was our faithful and merciful helper all along the way, during the past year, and for that matter, all the days of our lives before 2022. The Lord, in His love, has been a very present help in trouble, strengthening our faith through His holy word and sacrament, sustaining and blessing us with His peace, with an inner calm in difficulties and heartaches that we experienced. Another takeaway: story serves as an encouragement, certainly also as Christians, to examine our hearts and to repent of those sins of misplaced or misguided trust. Maybe times when we forgot about Jesus or neglected to look to Him as our helper during the year past. That's one temptation that confronts us as Christians, long-time Christians especially, that have been baptized and confirmed, maybe worshiped the Lord in an attractive church building for a long time, to believe that these are our protection, kind of like a good luck charm against trouble and misfortune. This assures me of a happy and blessed life here and eternal joys hereafter. Need to guard against that temptation and pray that the Lord lead us ever to recognize and praise Him ever as being our merciful and faithful helper for Jesus' sake, in whom we trust. And just like that stone that Samuel erected at Mizpah served as a memorial marker to God's people, continual reminder of their Lord's goodness to them in days past, we can think of our baptism and our confirmation and our church where we gather for regular worship of the Lord as memorial markers, reminding us of the Lord's tender mercies to us through the years of our lives. And also, may they also serve as memorial markers and a great comfort to know that the goodness of the Lord is something we can count on in as we cross the threshold into the new year. His faithfulness will never fail, nor his mercies waver in 2023 and forever long the duration of our pilgrimage on earth may be. The Lord will continue to be our Ebenezer, our stone of help. Think of all the stories in the Bible, my friends, where the Lord impresses that gospel truth upon our hearts and minds for our comfort. In addition to the Ebenezer stone story, for example, remember the story of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision? I'm going to mention it in the sermon tomorrow. "Do not be afraid, Abram," he said. "I am your shield and your very great reward as you move forward in your future life. To Isaac, his son, I will be with you and bless you. To you and your descendants, I'll give you all these lands and confirm the oath I swore to your father." To Isaac's son, Jacob, living up there in Haran as he was preparing to head down away from his uncle Laban back to his home territory in South Palestine, the Lord said, "Go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, Jacob. I will be with you." Moses at the burning bush, fearful Moses, hesitant Moses, "I will be with you, Moses. This will be the sign that it is I who've sent you, and you've brought the people out of Egypt. You will worship me on this very mountain, Sinai." To the Israelites right before they crossed into the land of Canaan, "Be strong and courageous," the Lord said. "Do not be afraid of your enemies, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. He will never leave or forsake you." And those two standout verses of comfort from the book of Isaiah, you'll remember them, where the Lord, good passages to take with us into 2023. "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've summoned you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." And the second one from Isaiah, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." These, dear friends, are the promises the Lord repeats time and again on the Holy Scriptures pages for our comfort as we stand at the threshold of a new year with all of its unknowns. And as we look to Him in faith, as we bring Him our needs, our problems, our fears, as we approach His throne of grace seeking forgiveness for our sins, how does that hymn go? "When all things seem against us to drive us to despair, we know one ear is open," or "one gate is open, one ear will hear our prayer." The Lord will continue to be our faithful and merciful helper. I'd like to close by sharing a story. Maybe you heard the story of a farmer boy who, hauling his first load of hay to town at the instruction of his farmer dad, perched midway up the mountain of hay, which rose high above the wagon and bulged out at both sides. He guided the wagon along several miles of dusty road till he came to a covered bridge. Very long bridge, walled in on both sides, covered over with a wooden roof, you know the kind. To the boy, it had the appearance of a darkened tunnel. Kind of like the Eisenhower Tunnel, maybe in Long Island 70. So he pulled the wagon up to the entrance of this bridge and he stopped, peered along its inside walls that seemed to close funnel-like as they converged on that little patch of light at the opposite end. Took a look at his load of hay, shook his head. He said, "No way I'm ever going to make it through. Too narrow at the other end is this bridge. Too wide is my load." So he backed up the wagon, turned around the horse team, and headed home, disappointed that he was thwarted in the mission that his father had given to him. Of course, when he got home, his father said, "My boy, you're the victim of an optical illusion. And if you had guided your wagon into that covered bridge, you would have found that it's just as wide at the far end as it is at the entrance." Of course, the story's moral is, at the entrance of this new year, as we look along the inside walls of the weeks and the months that lie ahead with their uncertainties and their problems and fears and cares, we might wonder how we'll be able to make it through. But isn't it comforting to know that the Lord of power, wisdom, love, and faithfulness, who is with us at the entrance of the year, is going to be with us all the way through. And knowing that, we may go forward confidently. As he once told another of his believers of old, Joshua, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." He will continue to be our Ebenezer, our stone of help, our rock of refuge. Amen. We'll now have the collection of the offering. I invite you to stand for prayer. The close of another year, O Lord, and at the dawning of the new, we come before you with our prayers of thanksgiving. Throughout the past 12 months, you have again been with us with your boundless mercy, blotting out our transgressions in the blood of our divine Redeemer. We find comfort in knowing that you will be with us in the coming year, forgiving our many sins because of the merits of our Savior. Lord, as we contemplate the unknown year that stretches out before us, we confess our weakness. Whenever we are confronted by problems, trials, and troubles, grant us grace to humbly confess, with might of ours can naught be done. At this solemn hour, we bring the difficulties and perplexities of the coming year to you, imploring you, according to your gracious promise, to be with us to lighten our burdens, and finally, to lead us out of the darkness into light. Bless us in the new year, Heavenly Father, to your glory and our good. For Jesus' sake, amen. Continue with the communion liturgy on page 3, towards the top. The confession of sins and the words of absolution. Dear friends in Christ, it is your desire to receive the sacrament of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ for the assurance of the forgiveness of your sins, the strengthening of your faith in him as your Savior, and the grace to serve him with a God-pleasing life. In order that these blessings may be yours, it is necessary that you bear in mind the word of God recorded by St. John in his first epistle. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Deeply conscious of our guilt and trusting solely in the merits of Jesus Christ for forgiveness, Let us make confession of our sins. Almighty God, I, a troubled and repentant sinner, confess that I have sinned against you in my thoughts, my words, and my actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I am distressed by the sins that trouble me and am deeply sorry for them. Jesus says to his people, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. His death paid for the guilt of your sins and the sins of the whole world. Do you believe this? If so, then declare so by saying, yes, I believe. Because of the promise of our Savior Jesus, I forgive you all your sins. Be assured that you are a dear child of God and an heir of eternal life. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you answered me. I thank you for the love you have shown me in Christ my Savior. Through him you have rescued me from the guilt of my sin and given me the peace of forgiveness. Help me fight against temptation, correct whatever wrongs I can, and serve you and those around me with love and good works. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Communicants may come forward as the usher directs. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with you all. Amen.